It's Mother's Day. And here comes the Valkyries.
From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Yes, it is I, my faithful and diligent info warriors out there facing down tyranny on every front. If it wasn't for people like you, we'd be in a lot more trouble than we are right now. And the world, not just the United States, is beginning to awaken in a big, big way. Again, thank you for joining us on this Mother's Day, May 13th, 2012 edition. Coming up, because I think these speeches need to get some attention, we have a powerful speech Ron Paul gave last Sunday in Austin, Texas, that my crew went down and taped and that we aired on InfoWars Nightly News and at PrisonPlanet.tv. We're going to air pretty much the entire 20-minute speech he gave in two segments, Ron Paul, and then most of the 10-minute speech that Rand Paul gave, because he gave actually about a 12-minute speech, and the segment's 10 minutes long, hence the reason we're going to cut part of it. But that's coming up. The full speech is also at PrisonPlanet.tv. So that's coming up. First, I'm going to get into the latest fake underwear bomber, CIA busting Al-Qaeda, busting itself. That is coming up in the next segment. I wanted to speak a little bit about motherhood and how the family, fatherhood, motherhood, it's all under attack. Hitler said, first you get the women, then you've got the children. So follow the men. And that is certainly the case. We try to play men and women off against each other. We don't just have chemical and biological and radiological attack against the population. We have all this cultural division, all the sitcoms, dramas, Miss Magazine, all about getting the family at each other's throat, and then the children ultimately suffer. It's just amazing to see this. But motherhood is special. And I'm not a fan of Mitt Romney. But when Democratic operatives came out and said that, you know, Mitt Romney's wife didn't work with five sons, it really blew up in their face. But it just shows their disdain for women that actually hold the family together and that actually take care of their children. They want the man out of the home so the state can be the daddy, and mommy's having to work all the time. So she's just basically a biological android to provide more young. We saw that with the Department of Labor coming out and saying children can't do chores on a farm, which would kill the family farm. That's how you learn how to do it. It's a lot of fun. When I worked on the farm, I'd be sent down to the farm on the summers and things. They have a family farm slash ranch. They're not farming anymore, but they are, well, they are doing some truck farm type stuff, but mainly a little bit of cattle. But the point is that this is all under attack. This is a corporate standardized system where the globalists see us as these creatures like dogs they're breeding to be a certain way. That's what eugenics is. And, you know, they're trying to have children from three parents now and splicing all the plants and animals. It's an abomination against our creation, and it trespasses. Monsanto trespasses with their DNA from the plants getting into other people's crops, and then they have courts go after folks who've been contaminated by them. That'd be like if I dumped motor oil in your backyard and said you'd stolen my motor oil. And the court said, well, Alex dumped the motor oil in your backyard, but since you have it there, you're stealing it. That's how ridiculous this is. So they're trespassing on us. They're running all over us. And we've got to learn about what they're doing, raise the alarm, and say, look, crooks, it's over. Plus, most of the crooks and yes men in the system, they're just morons, like everybody else who's been dumbed down their whole life. They're unaware of what they're doing. This system is destroying 99%+ of us, and it's going to destroy the globalists, the so-called elite. They're elite in that they're evil. They're blind to true humanity and think they're elite because they have no rules like cancer in the body politics. So I salute mothers on this Mother's Day. And what will we do without our mothers? What will we do without our fathers? What will we do without family? Well, for many communities, there is no family left. The gang is the family. And they want the government to be the family. The government gang is Big Sis Janet Napolitano, the former star of Saturday Night Live. What was her name then? It was Pat. She would like you to believe that it's a federal family, as he said, or she said. So I salute mothers and femininity and the beauty of women. And I don't just mean physical beauty, the beauty of their love and their passion for life. Thank you, mothers everywhere, grandmothers, great-grandmothers. Thank you so much. I thank God for you. We'll be right back with Ron Paul and more.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Thank you for joining us on this special Mother's Day edition here on the 13th of May, 2012. We're going to be here for the next 2 hours coming up. Congressman Ron Paul and then Rand Paul, stay with us for that breakdown. But first, I wanted to air an excerpt of InfoWars Nightly News last week when news broke that the CIA had busted the CIA in the underwear bomber part two. So here is part of that report. See the full video at InfoWars.com. Thank you for joining us. Tonight, we have more confirmation on top of the mountain of evidence that most terror worldwide in the last 30 years or so has been provocateured or staged. Now, you know the Gulf of Tonkin was staged to get us into Vietnam in 64. That's been declassified. And Operation Ajax, the U.S. and British governments used radical Muslim extremists to overthrow the government of Iran while claiming that they were actually fighting those groups. This is done over and over again. You know Al-Qaeda and the Taliban was created by the CIA, working with the Pakistanis, the Israelis, and Brits. All of this is on record, but we learn it decades later. Back with the 7/7 bombings 6-7 years ago, it came out on Fox News. Look this up. They had FBI agents that went public and reported. And I'm about to get to the new news, but I'll give you some background here. And reported on the fact that a SWAT, the leader of the 7/7 bombing, was a MI6 asset. And there's our original article with a link to the Fox News video, terror expert. And it goes over the entire report. There's Fox News with FBI agent Loftus breaking it down. It was also in the London Independent. Okay, continuing with this information, ladies and gentlemen. Paul Watson has the news breaking at PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com. This just happened yesterday, and we told you, underwear bomber 2, but instead of just setting up a patsy, they just say, we don't know who he is or where he is, but we found some underwear with a firecracker, so give you all your rights up, and Obama's going to save you. Well, now, Al-Qaeda bomber was a CIA informant. PrisonPlanet.com. But wait, here's the Huffington Post and the Associated Press are reporting Al-Qaeda bomb plot, would-be bomber, was CIA informant. And it just goes on from there. We're told naked body scanners, TSA on the streets. But what happened 2 Christmases ago? The Christmas Day bomber, Mutalib, we had the eyewitnesses on first. Kurt Haskell and his wife saw the U.S. government getting him on the plane without a passport. A month and a half later, questioned in Congress, the Undersecretary of State, Mr. Kennedy, admitted an unnamed U.S. intelligence agency told us to get him a visa and get him on that aircraft without a passport. Boom, that was staged. 7/7, boom, commanded and run by an MI6 operative. On record, the guys that were part of it thought they were part of a drill. They were anti-Muslim extremists, and they were blown up on the trains and those buses, or that bus. And the government was running a drill, the exact targets being attacked at the same time. That's Peter Powers, the head of Pfizer Consultancy, admitting that on ITN and BBC. Look it up. And it gets worse. 5 years ago, members of SAS assigned to MI6 in Iraq dressed up like Wahhabists killing Shiites to get sectarian warfare going on between the two groups. I could keep giving you examples. These aren't theories. These aren't facts. So now they just say, hey, we had a threat of a deadly firecracker, give all your rights up. But instead of having some drugged up patsy like Mutalib, you know, drugged, rolling him onto the plane, who actually thinks he's part of Al-Qaeda, they just make up this new guy and say, oh my gosh, it's so sophisticated, it's so deadly, it's so evil. Of course, they were reporting yesterday, U.S. thinks underwear bomber built bomb with Al-Qaeda in Yemen. Oh my gosh, U.S. sends airport security guy to other countries. Yeah, buy the naked body scanners to keep you safe. The new domestic police state arms race. All of this, absolute pure bull. We never see modern cases of where these hyped up terror attacks weren't provocateured or purely absolutely staged. We know that the so-called hijackers of 9/11 were trained at U.S. military bases. That was even in AP Newsweek. But we're supposed to ignore all that information. They were just people taking part in a drill, just like the 7-7, Patsy. So here it is. AP, Al-Qaeda bomb plot, would-be bomber was CIA informant. Associated Press. Oh, but they say it was a double agent. Oh, that's how they spin it. Just like the troops have to grow the opium to fight Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. And they got to rape children in Abu Ghraib in front of their parents to fight Al-Qaeda. Well, I mean, I'd be for Al-Qaeda above raping children. And of course, Al-Qaeda's CIA, so that would be raping children anyway, so I wouldn't join that. I mean, this is staged. It's a global corporate empire who needs to act like it's under attack so it can take your liberties and give itself trillions of dollars in tax money a year, just in the U.S. alone, $3 or $4 trillion worldwide, in the name of keeping us safe. You know, the Olympics with missiles around it for Al-Qaeda's Air Force. This is a pipe dream. The globalists think you're so dumb. All their propaganda is designed for people not paying attention. Remember, Al-Qaeda flies its flag over Libya and is exterminating blacks by the tens of thousands right now. Totally racist. Remember, Al-Qaeda is being used to attack Syria. No fan of Assad, but compared to Al-Qaeda, he's a great guy. They're blowing up police stations and being called freedom fighters. It's in the news that Al-Qaeda is the good guy now. And we're supposed to segue to the domestic extremist. That is people that want liberty. Unbelievable information unfolding in front of us. But wait, a final piece of news in this spectrum of information we're breaking down here that's only the tip of the iceberg. You see, the regular teleprompter news is some bimbo reading off a teleprompter what the globalists wrote in the central CBS broadcast center for all the major networks by private PR firms and the CIA and foreign governments and others. Here, it's full spectrum analysis. And we're even taking mainstream news where they have to admit this stuff and laying it out to connect the dots for you. Here is the London Telegraph today. U.S. secretly releasing Taliban prisoners from Bagram Air Base. Same thing at Camp X-Ray and Gitmo. Same thing at Abu Ghraib in Iraq. Not just in Afghanistan. This is what they do. They get people in these re-education camps to find out who can be operatives to go out and pose as synthetic artificial terror. If you want to invade countries, you've got to create the synthetic threat. If you want to take liberties, you've got to create the synthetic threat to take the projection of the bad guy so you can play the part of the good guy, when in truth, the New World Order is controlling both sides of it. You understand that? This is what they're doing. So there it is. America has secretly been releasing high-level Taliban prisoners from a top-security military prison as part of negotiations with insurgents. Folks, the only insurgents they're fighting is opium farmers that don't want to get a lower price. It's a bunch of tribalists in Afghanistan who've always been killing each other. That's why Alexander the Great couldn't beat them. The Romans, the Persians, the Brits, no one can beat them because they don't have a culture or society that's centralized. They're cavemen. It's beyond medieval. No one can conquer them because the guy over the next hill hates his cousin down the road. This is beyond Appalachian hillbillies to the power of infinity. So the globalists are there to get the $500 billion a year in opium. As we told you yesterday, this is staged, had all the earmarks. When they came out and said, oh, can't have bin Laden, he's in the ocean. Oh, who's this guy? We don't know. We found some underwear with a firecracker in them. Now, America, fall to your knees. We have an M80. And the Republic just goes, take my rights, grope my wife and daughters. I'm so afraid of a guy with a turban and with an M80 in his underwear. And now he's CIA. And because that leaks out, and now there's congressional investigation calls, what do they say? He was a double agent. Even after they said that about a SWAT in the 7-7 bombings, it came out he could fly in and out of the country and was being protected. They're not double agents. They're agents of the mega banks playing the West off against Islam. Every time people in Islamist countries try to build societies and civilizations, which they're very capable of, the globalists send in a bunch of jihadis to blow the hell out of the capital. Okay? Okay? That's been the plan. It's been the plan since the end of World War II. The Brits used the plan with Lawrence of Arabia before that, 50-something years. Look into history. Learn about it. Get informed. All this propaganda is designed as if you're an idiot. It's designed for people halfway paying attention. Gee, Marge, they protect us from another one of them radical, evil sand people. Yeah, well, that's all right, because TSA is going to grope you tonight, honey, and that'll keep you safe. But the border's wide open. All right, that's it for this area of the report. Get this video and the information by Paul Watson at InfoWars.com out to everybody. We'll be right back with a speech Ron Paul gave recently in Austin, Texas, and then Rand Paul. Stay with us. are back, ladies and gentlemen. Alex Jones here. Thank you for joining us. Ron Paul was here last week in Austin, gave a very powerful speech. And this segment, the next, we're going to air it here on Mother's Day. Then we're going to come back with his son, Senator Rand Paul, at the Texas State Capitol as well. So here is Ron Paul.
We've talked a lot about the Senate race, but you know there's a still ongoing presidential race in this country? We're still counting the votes. Matter of fact, we're just starting to count the delegates. And there's been many times that we've been written off, but on occasion now, almost like every day, there is another state that goes our way. Like, it may turn out that we will be the actual winners of Iowa. We're winning a lot of these delegates that were written off in the past, but we're winning a lot of other things too. Putting people in the right place, becoming chairman of the Republican Party in the various states. So the revolution is working. We have infiltrated the Republican Party, and we will convert the Republican Party to the defenders of liberty. In Washington, supposed to be the Congress. But what about the overstepping of their rights in the executive branch through the issuing of executive orders? The executive order that has given supposedly authority to the president to assassinate American citizens. We need a constitutional president who will use the executive order in a proper manner to repeal all the executive orders that were misplaced. Executive order written back in 1973. Not too many people have talked about this, and they might not think it's too important. I happen to think it was very important. Unfortunately, or characteristically, maybe it was executed by a Republican president in 1973. And they established the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Agency. Now, that is a totally unconstitutional vehicle for enforcing law. And just last week, I imagine many of you saw, there was a drug bust. They don't know what they were doing. They were suspected of using something a lot safer than alcohol. Yeah! But there was a SWAT team that went in and grabbed seven young people on the campus of UC at San Diego. Yeah. And they threw them on jail, and then after they sorted out the paperwork, they released six. And they just forgot about one person and allowed this person to be in prison 5 days, no water, no food, and he was in critical condition, and he was in intensive care for 3 days, and he's going to survive. But then the question is, who's liable for that? Because there's a lawsuit filed, and I think a lawsuit is proper. And there should be a compensation. But I've always had a little trouble with those type of compensations being thrown back on the people. So why shouldn't it be when people are acting outside the law, outside the Constitution, those individuals who committed those acts that were illegal, why shouldn't they be personally liable for the corruption? Ago, when the TSA got even more abusive, I introduced legislation along those lines. Of course, the best way to have taken care of the TSA was to vote against the establishment of the TSA to begin with, and to have voted against the Patriot Act, which gave them so much authority. But my suggestion in this legislation was that a TSA agent can do nothing that you can't do. So if you can't grope a stranger and you go to prison, if anybody at the airport gropes a stranger and he pretends he's allowed to because he belongs to the government, he should be personally liable and suffer the consequences. It is a shame that our government here in Texas didn't stand up stronger against the TSA. But let me tell you, there is another vehicle, and it's going to be used ultimately, and they're starting to use it. And that is nullification. The nullification has not been used throughout our history, but it was understood, it was assumed to be a proper procedure where the states just ignore the feds when they come in and try to enforce illegal laws. But there are two states now, I believe it's Virginia and Arizona, they have passed, in a way, a nullification law about not supporting the military when they come in under the National Defense Authorization Act and arrest an American citizen, that they will not participate in those arrests. Of course, there is still this danger of how many federal policemen are carrying guns now. Before the TSA, I had a number, it was close to 100,000, so it must be much bigger now. As far as I'm concerned, under the way the Constitution was written, there was not to be any national police force. There was to be a defense force defending against enemies, but not to have a national police force coming in. But 100,000 plus now who come in to enforce regulations that are technically illegal, that all should be canceled out. We say no more of this. We want to take care of our own business and get the feds out of our lives and out of our lives. Everybody knows that we're in an economic crisis, a lot worse in other places than Texas. And one time a few months ago, somebody asked me in the media, they said, whom are you running against? And what individual are you running against? I think they wanted me to say, you know, that 100% of our problems came from Obama. And I didn't yield to their temptation to say that, even though he's responsible for an awful lot of mess we have. No, I said, the one individual that I'm running against is Keynes. And some people understood it, and some people didn't understand it. But guess what? I'm getting to debate Keynes through his apostle, Paul Krugman. Is an important subject. A true revolution has to be ideological. Revolutions can be violent and they can overthrow a government and nothing really improve. An ideologically positive revolution is what is necessary. And that's what we have going in this country. It is really very positive. The groundwork has been laid, just as the groundwork was laid before our first revolution, and there was a clear understanding about what freedom was all about, what sound money was all about, and that's why they wrote a good document, the best probably in the world, although it was obviously flawed because we ended up not living up to that document. But at least there was an intellectual movement before that, as there has been now for several decades. But what I have noticed, since I've been involved in this since the 1970s, what I have noticed in the last 5 years, all of a sudden, the revolution has gone mainstream. The people are waking up.
America is on fire for Ron Paul. Even if they steal the nomination from him, the people are learning about the Constitution. We'll be back with more of Ron Paul.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You are listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Yes, my friends, you are. And we also simulcast the radio show in living video color at prisonplanet.tv. Don't forget the websites infowars.com and prisonplanet.com. Here is the conclusion of Congressman Ron Paul's speech in Austin, Texas.
That this will make our economy weaker if the government isn't spending this money, but that is not true, because obviously the people are going to spend their money more wisely. But in order to cut, I don't believe in this idea, although we talk about it and occasionally we have legislation that I give token support for, and that is get rid of waste, fraud, and abuse, as if it's the wastefulness of the government program. No, it's the government program per se. It's the taxing program of the government per se. It's the policy. It's the policy that has to change. This entitlement mentality and this foreign policy has to change. That's what we're talking about. There's no reason in the world why why we shouldn't be able to bring people together on foreign expenditures. Left, right, center, independents, progressives, whatever. We ought to be able to come together because we're running out of money, the people are suffering, and we don't need to bleed ourselves anymore by spending more money overseas. But people will say, well, who's going to be the policeman of the world? Who's going to do this and that? And who's going to do the nation building? I would say, not the USA. We don't need this foreign policy that has been around for many, many years. It has actually gotten much worse. It's been endorsed by Republicans and Democrats. It's the foreign policy of interventionism, of trying to tell other people what to do. But just go back, all the way back to the year 2000. How do you think the Republicans did a good job on electing a president on a foreign policy that said no nation building, no policing of the world, and have a humble foreign policy? This has been a very wise foreign policy, and it hasn't been a fair trade-off. We lost 3,000 people on 9/11. We went the wrong way. The American people got immediately punished by having the Fourth Amendment repealed and having passed the Patriot Act. But how much more sacrifice did we participate in? Over 8,000 Americans have died. 42,000 Americans have come back with serious problems and injuries and amputations. Hundreds of thousands looking for help for psychological reasons, post-traumatic stress syndrome and head injuries, and they're not even getting their help. How much more of this payback can we afford? I would say that we have to wake up and understand foreign policy and understand the warning of the CIA and the Defense Department and other intellectuals saying, you know, if you get in their face and you occupy their country, why don't you think about it? What would it be like in Texas if China put their ships offshore and put their troops on our land? We would not be very happy. So this is a place where we ought to come together and join and stop spending. I don't happen to advocate cutting spending for our children or adults. We've conditioned so many to be so dependent. It's a poor system. There's a much better way, but there's a way to wean ourselves off. But if we don't clean up this mess, if we don't cut real spending, if we don't restore sound money and free up the marketplace and come to a sensible agreement on foreign policy, this thing is going to end badly. The money is going to be destroyed, and that means high interest rates, higher cost of living, and everybody's going to suffer. There will be no, the more money you print to send it out to help people with medical care, the worse it will be. In the old days, they had gold and silver. Now, the more you spend, the more debt you have, the more assets, the more money they print. It's a suicidal course. It won't work, and we're approaching that end. And the government lies to us about the amount of unemployment, and they lie to us about the amount of destruction of the currency. People in the middle class are getting poorer. The country is shrinking in size as far as middle class goes. There's not been really significant economic growth since the year 2000. And people know it. They know there's something wrong. But you cannot produce wealth by the Federal Reserve creating money. And when they do it in secret, guess what? The special interests get the benefits, the ones that have already been benefiting. So when the crisis hits, the Congress and the Federal Reserve rushes to bail out Wall Streets and the banks and the Goldman Sachs of the world. The Fed, like I say, is a facilitator. The Fed will end when we restore liberty to this country and when we restore the rule of law and believe in our Constitution. There is no authority for a central bank nor paper money in our Constitution. But the basic thing that we have to understand is, what is personal liberty all about? We know what Jefferson thought about it. It was a God-given right to our life and our liberty, and it should be a God-given right to keep everything we earn. But 100 years ago, approximately, freedom was chopped up into two pieces, and because it's divided, it gets whittled away, and that's why we're in this mess. But freedom for the individual means that you have personal liberty. You have your religious liberties, you have your intellectual liberties, but you also should have your liberty to run your personal lives as you want to run your personal lives. This very, very extreme view, and I saw a sign here today, this extreme view that you ought to have the right to drink raw milk if you want. But the problem with like this is one side protected social liberties, another side tried to protect economic liberties. Neither side have done a very good job. But the freedom movement is now saying, we really want to protect economic liberty. We really want it to protect personal liberty. We need to put it back together. Guess what happened? All of a sudden, you bring people together. Not because we have the same religious views, not because we want to read the same books, and not because we want to practice our social lifestyles the same. Matter of fact, it's exactly the opposite. We come together because we want to protect our freedom of choice, so we should come together for those reasons. In November, but we do know what is happening in the country and how people are waking up and how many people now endorse the principles of liberty. And like I have said so many times, that, you know, an idea whose time has come cannot be stopped by armies or by the politicians. Every reason to be optimistic about the way things are going, but not to be complacent. To be complacent means that we wouldn't be here, we wouldn't be concerned, we wouldn't be trying to get Ted in there to help Rand, and all these things. So there's reason to be optimistic, but it's ideology that is important. The one individual can't do it. You have to have support, and I think this is what's coming. We are changing the hearts and minds of so many people. This reminds me of a story that I frequently use to demonstrate the point about two colonels that got together after the Vietnam War finally ended. I'd been in for 5 years during the 60s. And but in the early 70s, when the war ended, Colonel Harry Summers and Colonel Tu from Vietnam got together to talk about how to pick up some pieces. But our colonel wanted to get the last word in, so when he met Tu, he says, "You have to remember, Colonel, you never defeated us one time on the battlefield." And Colonel Tu paused for a minute. He says, "That is true, but it's also irrelevant." Because people who are defending their homelands, whether it's Vietnam or whether it's Afghanistan, which they've been doing for 1,000 years, the people defending their homeland have the hearts and the minds of the people. Even when they fight among themselves, they will still fight to keep out the invaders. So that is why it's a fruitless fight. But it is this way in this country too. We may lose a battle here and there, but ultimately we're going to win the war, because we're winning the hearts and minds of the American people. And the opposition will accuse us going back, like Paul Krugman said the other day, "You want to go back 100 years. And then, no, the authoritarians want to go back 1,000 years or 2,000 years. The dictators and the pharaohs and the kings have been around for a long, long time. Freedom is a new idea. It was really developed in this country. We have lost our way, but we can find our way again. And that is what is happening. Thank you so much.
We'll be right back with the final segment of the first hour with Senator Rand Paul. Then we're coming back with a special guest in the second hour. Stay with us.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You are listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Yeah, I'm proud of Texas. Though I love the whole United States, this whole world. But so much resistance does come out of here, like Ron Paul, we were just listening to. Here's his son that was at the same speech, Senator Rand Paul. And then hour number two is coming up.
There's no future for the Tea Party. Harry, tell us, which one is it? Speaking in this Texas heat, I'm reminded of Castro. He used to give these 8-hour speeches in the Cuban sun. He was given one of these interminable speeches, and from the crowd came a voice saying, "Peanuts, popcorn, Cracker Jacks." Castro got mad, but he went on. 5 minutes later, or maybe 5 hours later, he heard it again. "Peanuts, popcorn, Cracker Jacks." And he says, "I hear that again. I'm going to kick your butt all the way to Miami." All of a sudden, the entire crowd said, "Peanuts, popcorn, Cracker Jacks." I did have a problem with those light bulbs. I've got a problem with my toilet. I mean, I want the government out of my bedroom, but I also want them out of my bathroom. They tell me what kind of light bulb I can use. What kind of toilet paper? For goodness sakes, these Hollywood celebrities want to tell you how much toilet paper you can use. Is that the nanny state or what? They tell you what kind of shower heads you can have. You know, the light bulbs cost $4. I asked the Department of Energy woman, "Are you against choice?" She said, "Oh, no, I'm for choice in light bulbs." I said, "Then you're precisely not for choice in light bulbs. You won't let us make a decision. By the way, do you hate poor people? How are regular people going to afford $4 light bulbs?" So President Obama gave a prize recently, $10 million prize to Philips Electric, to develop a energy-efficient, cost-effective light bulb. You know how much the light bulb costs? $50. How much did we give Philips Electric? $10 million to develop a $50 light bulb. It's insane. We live in a nanny state. There are 38 federal agencies that are armed. Now, you may say we need to have a police, we need to have an army, but does the Department of Agriculture need a SWAT team?
No!
Recently, the Department of Agriculture showed up with automatic weapons and with a Gestapo-style SWAT team to close down a company that was doing the horrendous crime of selling milk directly from the cow. Fish and Wildlife showed up at Gibson Guitar, once again with armed agents. You know what their crime was? They're accused of breaking an Indian, not a U.S., an Indian labor law that says their product needs to be finished in India. It's a labor protection law, but they're being persecuted and prosecuted for breaking a law that's not even a U.S. law. We put a U.S. citizen, a Florida citizen, in jail for the crime of breaking a Honduran fishing regulation. He got 8 years in prison. One of the regulations was that the fish needed to be imported in cardboard boxes, not plastic. That's a criminal offense under the Lacey Act. We've let our government get away from us. But we're at a point where we need a new generation of leaders. We need leaders who believe in the Constitution. We need to know who will be the next generation, who will be our leaders. Roger Waters asked, he said, "Did you trade your heroes for ghosts? Did you exchange a walk-on part in a war for a lead role in a cage?" Recently, I met an Egyptian woman. When they're put on trial in Egypt, they're put in a cage. She's accused of promoting secular democracy in Egypt. And yet, what do the people in Congress do to support her? They say, "Let's send $2 billion of your dollars to Egypt, and maybe they'll behave better if we give them more money." Water in that book, The Conscience of the Conservative, I think succinctly wrapped up what a lot of us are about when he said, "I have little interest in streamlining government or making it more efficient, for I mean to reduce its size." He said, I do not undertake to promote welfare. Rather, I propose to extend freedom. My aim is not to inaugurate new programs. My aim is not to pass bills, but to repeal bills. My aim is not to inaugurate new programs, but to cancel old ones that do violence to the Constitution. Goldwater said that I will not attempt to discover whether legislation is needed before I have discovered whether it is constitutional. And if I am neglected, if I'm accused of neglecting my constituents' interest, I will reply that I was told that my constituents' chief interest was liberty. And in that cause, I am doing the best that I can. I can't think of a more succinct way of talking about liberty and freedom and what we're about. We have to fight it. I do believe we are on a precipice. We have a constitutional republic, but we've been losing it for decades and decades and decades. Jefferson recognized this. Jefferson said that a pure democracy would be nothing more than mob rule. We had to have rules. There are certain things the majority can't take away from us. They can't take away the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, any of the Bill of Rights. The majority has no right. Those rights were given to us by our Creator, and they pre-exist government. When we have a government, we now have a president who fundamentally misunderstands it. It amazes me that people say that he actually taught constitutional law. He said recently that because Obamacare had passed by a majority, to him a significant majority, that the Supreme Court had no right to rule on its constitutionality. We stand at a precipice in our country where we must make decisions, and I don't think we have a lot of time left. Phil Graham used to talk about there's getting too many people in the wagon and not enough people pulling the wagon. The wagon's getting heavy. Less and less people are working. Less and less people are paying the taxes. We have to do something before there's so many people on the receiving end and so few people on the working end that it becomes, you know, we slide into Western socialism. And I'm afraid we're going in that direction. We are at a point where we're borrowing $50,000 a second. We have to do something about it. But in doing so, we need to recognize that we do have choices. It's not all bad news. We have a great country. I tell people it's not that we are inherently exceptional, but our ideas were exceptional. The ideas and heritage of our Constitution and Declaration of Independence are exceptional. Ourselves once again, if we will believe in the system of capitalism that made us great, if we will know and understand that if you want to help your fellow man, if you want a society and a civilization that can create wealth to help your fellow man and to be humanitarian, it's capitalism. It creates wealth like no other country ever has. But we have to believe in ourselves again. We cannot believe that because your neighbor has three cars and you have a moped, that we're going to send the president to take one of their cars and get you a car. We have to believe that we want to increase that pie. That pie of jobs and wealth can increase if we believe in freedom. If we do, we will thrive again. I hope to be at the forefront of that and to continue to fight for you. And I thank you very much for having me.
Two is only minutes away with Doug Hagman, the director of the Northeast Intelligence Network, with key information concerning the government preparing for civil war against the American people in a staged race war. That's coming up in the second hour.
All I ever needed was to inject you with cancer. viruses. My name is David Rockefeller.
It's eugenics. Sing along. All I've needed. Crank it up. I like this part. My world. I know he said my life, but you notice earlier they said crashing into my little world. Yeah, words can only do harm to the new world order. Hey, I like that liner there at the end. That's awesome. Yeah.
And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
But no, my friends, we are not live from Austin, Texas, with the Depeche Mode and the Imperial Battle March. No, we are taping this. And I want to thank the crew, Chris and others, for doing a fabulous job on holidays like Mother's Day when they take some of the nightly news reports and speeches and things that haven't yet been on the radio and bring them to you, like we just heard in the last hour with Rand Paul and Ron Paul. And you cannot doubt that the revolution is really centered in Texas and many other areas. But Texas should be proud that so much good is coming out of the state. Also, so much bad. Isn't that the way it always is? So much good coming out of America, but also so much bad. The globalists captured our country through fraud. And now we get the blame for their world government while we finance it and while they shut down and basically exsanguinate our republic. Coming up, we're going to interview Doug Hagmann, who has a lot of really interesting sources in the next hour. I talked to him last Wednesday, and I think this interview needs to be heard again. So here's some of the most important excerpts when we come back from break. And I have to also, again, mention that in the last week or so, the Army has now admitted re-education camp manual not intended for public release. Public Affairs Director falsely claims document does not apply to U.S. citizens, even though it talks about it applying to U.S. citizens and getting Social Security numbers, and they admit Brigade Homeland and checkpoints and TSA and military drills and NDAA and the Emergency Centers Establishment Act and the Model States Health Emergency Powers Act for forced inoculations. This is all pretty much public, but it's in this document, that document, we're connecting the dots here. And it's a big deal that the Army admits this is a document that was not intended for public release. That's what the Public Affairs Director, Tiffany Wood, said from Fort Leonard Wood. And we've got her phone number there in the article by Paul Joseph Watson. Army admits re-education camp manual not intended for public release. Just like people said the NDAA wasn't real for a few weeks trying to stall the public so we couldn't build opposition to beat it. And then they admitted it was real, but said Obama was going to veto it, so that would kill opposition. I told you he would sign it. He did. Turned out he pressured Congress to add the draconian provisions. Same thing here. Disinfo saying it doesn't affect citizens, even though the 327-page document is absolutely clear on that front. They do this over and over and over and over again, playing psych warfare games. And as long as you're not aware of these games, they're very effective on you. It's kind of like leading a blind man off a cliff. But once you have the sight of discernment and understanding, and you just learn more and more, these tricks just become irritants to spur you to stand up against the tyranny and crush it with the weapon that is so effective, truth. So many people say, well, what are the solutions? Exposing the evil is a big part of it, and then taking action against it, and calling it out, and saying no, and running for office, and getting involved, and fighting for private property, and realizing what's valuable, family, motherhood, fatherhood, all of it, recognizing good from evil and standing for good, that is the solution. 1776 worldwide is the solution. Putting out the alternative of liberty versus tyranny so people can make a decision, that is the solution. All right, we'll be right back with our next guest. Stay with us. For the rest of this hour, a little bit into the next hour, Doug Hagmann is going to be our guest. He has a long bio, but the best thing to do is to go over to his website. We'll put that up on screen for viewers, not just radio listeners. Douglas J. Hagmann is a founder and director of the Northeast Intelligence Network and CEO of a multi-state licensed private investigative agency serving more than many Fortune 500 clients. a 27-year veteran of conducting investigations in the private sector. He has logged over 50,000 hours of covert surveillance in his career and is the author of Tactical Surveillance. He is a member of the International Counterterrorism Officers Association and possesses many law enforcement-related training certifications. He has been used as an operational asset by the U.S. Department of Justice, the FBI, as well as the Pennsylvania and New York State police agencies. Hagam has performed over 8,000 civil and criminal investigations throughout the United States and is also certified in forensic discipline of bloodstain pattern analysis. During his career, Hagam has developed numerous federal enforcement contacts and has become aware of irregularities within the U.S. government. He attempts to inform the public of what is taking place inside the government through his regular appearances on Coast to Coast AM and numerous other syndicated radio talk shows across the U.S. In addition to his website, he is senior contributor to Canada's Free Press, and he also is routinely on with Neil Cavuto on Fox. And I'll just leave it at that. He's also the co-host of the Hagman & Hagman Report. And I saw this article last week, and I keep meaning to get him on, but just years go by like seconds now, as everybody knows. I mean, years go by like weeks, basically, to be technical. It's just amazing. But I saw this article. We are preparing for mass civil war, says DHS informant. And I saw that and then, you know, read some other reports coming out from Mr. Hagman. I wanted to get him on to break this down for us and tell us what his sources are telling him. I mean, we obviously see 450 million 40 cal bullets being bought, hundreds of millions of others, agencies that shouldn't even be armed getting riot shotguns, police stations being hardened in government documents ahead of civil unrest, the military's training even mechanics in civil unrest in every branch, military checkpoints, TSA checkpoints, admissions for preparations for civil unrest, massive drills everywhere to acclimate. And then you have the NDAA, signal disappear citizens. We have this new FEMA camp, re-education camp document that the Army now confirms today is real. Yeah, folks, it's real. Okay. And we have Army sources that said, yeah, it's in there. It says it's classified. But then we had people calling up saying, well, it's actually posted here. Yeah, if you had the classification to log in and get it. So all of that's going on. Doug, tell us about your website a little bit and how folks go to that. And then tell us about yourself and then your awakening to the progression of what's happened in this country. And, of course, the big news, what are they gearing up for?
Well, thanks, Alex. And thank you very much for that fine introduction. Most of all, I'm very proud. I guess my proudest accomplishment is to be an info warrior, classify myself as an info warrior. Follow your website, follow your information. You're 100% right on all the time. My website is homelandsecurityus.com. Not affiliated with any government agency. We are a private, independent, investigative agency. That's who we are. We also have a nightly radio broadcast called The Hagman and the Hagman Report. Attempt to emulate you, Alex, in the attempt to spread the information that we've been finding out lately about what is going on, what is taking place, in our case, behind FEMA Region 3. We'll say we're deep inside FEMA Region 3. But to educate the population as to what's taking place with respect to our government, which is just totally gone berserk now. I mean, we have, Alex, everything that you have said in your programs over the last several years, since I've started listening, has come to pass. When people were calling you crazy for what you were saying, and people were saying, nah, you know, it can't be. It's coming to pass right now. We're seeing it. We're verifying it. We've got people talking to us saying, hey, listen to Alex. Listen to what Alex is saying. And people coming to us and saying, look, we've got information for you. And here it is. And here's what's taking place. What's taking place is the United States government, the Department of Homeland Security, is turning inward on the American people. They are declaring war on the American people. And that's what it is, Alex. That's exactly what it is. You know, people wonder why. The NDAA was passed. People wonder why, the various executive orders were passed. People wonder why the ammunition was purchased. People have a tendency to look at things in vacuums, but when you start connecting the dots, you can see what's taking place.
Mobile armored pillboxes?
Yes, yes. And you've pointed this out, and you've been at the tip of the spear pointing this out. And I got to tell you, frankly, okay, as an investigator for 27 years, I've had a lot of doubts. I had a lot of doubts about the legitimacy of this information. And I fell for that right-left paradigm, that fictitious right-left paradigm. Now I've seen, look, it's all been a farce. It's first of all, TSA is nothing more than security theater at this point. We are living in an Orwellian dream at this point. And this has nothing to do about security. Everything to do about control of the American populace and conditioning of the American populace. Everything you've been talking about in your program, this is coming to pass.
Well, amazing. And I mean, thank you for supporting the broadcast. I just ran into the information firsthand by going to some drills 15, 16 years ago and then discovered all this. But getting into all of your contacts, because you brought out a lot of amazing information on a routine basis, what are your contacts telling you now about the acceleration of all of this?
I've got one contact in particular that I've been in contact with. I've known since 1979, a good friend of mine. I'll leave it at that. He works very close to he works within the complex of the DHS, under the umbrella of the DHS. Let's put it that way. And he's aware of information that has been developing over the last, we'll say, 2 years, but has been accelerating over the last several months to the extent that what Obama is planning on doing. I mean, Obama can see the writing on the wall. There's dissatisfaction. There's unemployment. There's people that are going hungry in this country. There's civil discord. All of this is taking place. He can see the writing on the wall. It doesn't look good for his election. But these people have no plans on leaving, Alex. And I'm telling you right now, the people who rioted in the 1960s, the Bill Ayers and the Bernardine Dorns, who were actually the protesters in the 60s and early 70s, the Weather Underground, these are the people who Obama has by his side right now. These are the people who are my sources saying, look, what these people are doing, for example, Trayvon Martin, they're using this as a catalyst for racial unrest.
NBC edited the tape to make it sound racist, and the Justice Department got caught with moles fomenting the new Black Panthers in people. I mean, they really are trying to get a race war.
Exactly, they are, and they're working toward that goal, but they're also looking toward the economic factors, and this is something that's so important that people really need to understand. What's going on in Europe right now, today, is coming to America. We're facing this massive hyperinflation or this massive economic collapse in this country. I mean, your guest, Gerald Celente, right on the money with his information. This is coming to America. And I'll tell you what, DHS knows this. They know that they can't stop this. They know that the dollar is going to collapse. They know that because of this, there's going to be class warfare. And that's the other leg of the table. And so when you have the racial component combined with the economic component, the class warfare, I'm going to tell you, they're expecting riots. They're expecting, not only expecting it, but they're seeding they're actually seeding it. For example, they've got, my source is telling me, according to the information that he's found, for example, Louis Farrakhan and others, now he would not name others, but others are on the payroll of the CIA. This is what my source is saying, allegedly. Okay, allegedly, Farrakhan is on the payroll of CIA. Why? For what purpose? Well, to enhance and to facilitate the discord, the racial discord in this country. That's what's taking place. But they know they can't stop the collapse of the dollar. Obama, Bernanke working together to tank the dollar, the U.S. dollar, on purpose. I mean, they are destroying this country, and they're not going to leave until they're done. Well, when I say destroying the country, they're fundamentally changing the country, of course, in the words of Obama, changing it to a Marxist society.
Which is destroying the country.
Exactly.
I just want to say I appreciate all the info warriors out there spending part of their Mother's Day with us today, and a big shout out to all the great moms and motherhood that the globalists are basically attacking. The family, religion, everything is under assault by these scum. We'll be back with more inside information with Doug Hagmann. Stay with us.
All the times have come.
NationalSecurityUS.com is the website. Northeast Intelligence Network CEO, Doug Hagman. All right, Doug, this is a short segment, long segment coming up, but get into the preparations, what your sources are telling you. You were getting into the FEMA camps, which they admit in the Emergency Centers Establishment Act will be the new community. They implode things, pay to ship the jobs overseas. People flood in. Then there's got to be a prison area for troublemakers in the community, protesters and people, and that's the sub-camp areas. So that's how they're going to roll these out. We already see it in California and other areas where they lock the homeless up at night. But let's continue breaking down what your source told you.
Well, according to my source, and he said, look, the DHS brass, they know this is coming. There's no stopping it. And it's going to be a lot easier, if possible, to have these people, have people in general, masses, willingly go to these disaster relief centers for their food. Because you're not going to be able to buy food. You're not going to be able to do any banking. You're not going to be able to. I mean, we're going to be in, things are going to be in gridlock. And when people get hungry, they get desperate. So they're going to go do what the government tells them to do. If there's food at these disaster relief centers, great. They're counting on a lot of people to respond appropriately, to go to these centers for the food.
And then in phase one, the camps will be our saviors. Phase yes. two, take the politicals. But I'm sorry, please continue.
No, I mean, you're exactly right. And then, now you've been running during your program the 1982 documentary with Larry Grathwell saying, well, there's going to be this mass extermination of people. Ultimately, that's their plan. And people are like, you know, this normalcy bias has taken them over. And again, 27 years as an investigator, I'm a hard sell on this kind of stuff. I'm thinking, wait a minute, this can't be happening. But it is happening. Everything you've said is true. What they're saying is, okay, once these people, you know, once we have them separated, those who don't go, there will be mass arrests. They'll be treated differently if they're taken anywhere at all, if they're not dropped at the end of the driveway. And the bottom line is then they're going to have control of everything. And but here, here's the key real quickly. Here's the key. Obama does not want to relinquish power. Valerie Jarrett does not want to relinquish power. Cass Sunstein, all these people, all these unappointed czars don't want to relinquish power at all and don't plan on it. So they're planning on this economic collapse, this racial divide, this economic chaos, panic, riots, and so on and so forth as a pretext to potentially suspend the elections. We've already seen the trial balloon with Governor Susan Perdue, I believe her name is, out of one of the Carolinas, talking about suspending congressional elections. They've had their eye on that. They're looking at that, according to my source, saying, well, what was the reaction? Could this possibly be? Indeed. But this is what they want to do. They want to stay in power one way or another. And Obama knows that his numbers aren't good. Obama knows that satisfaction is bad. But again, the thing that my source did say, and he's experienced in profiling, by the way, the forensic profiling, he says, does this look like a man who expects to be going anywhere after this election? Of course not. I mean, look at the lavish vacations that they're taking. Look at the way he's spending money. I mean, $5 trillion he's added to the debt. It's just incredible. So we can see this coming. According to my source, DHS is aware of this and not stopping it. Instead of not stopping it, they're facilitating it.
And by the way, I was told this a year ago by sources, and then now it's been in the news, that they gave them, what, $3 billion of additional funding to set up TSA all over the country from the beta test they had going in 10 states at the time. And now we've confirmed through other sources that these big armored lockers with the riot gear, the weapons, are being delivered and they're being cashed. I've talked to military. These giant processions of Bradley fighting vehicles, freshly painted and ready for the U.S., are being cashed at secondary armories because the system's afraid the public may take the regular armories. I've talked to military that whenever Texas was about to throw the TSA out, which the feds know is their Vanguard takeover arm that will expand out onto the streets, their little administrative tattletale squad, that on top of that, that the military was standing by to invade Texas, and then it came out they were going to have a blockade of the airways. I mean, this is already happening. They're already geared up.
And in terms of other information about from my source, of course, you know, he's hoping that none of this stuff happens, flat out saying, look, I got a family. I hope none of this happens. I hope I'm wrong, but I want to tell you that it looks like everything right now is pointing toward this taking place this summer leading up to the elections. And he said, if for some reason we're able to get through this summer without any trouble whatsoever, and if we have elections, this is not a guy subject to hyperbole, you know, by using that kind of language, but if we have elections, he said, watch very carefully between the time of election day and inauguration day. Watch that time period. Watch for false flag operations. The White House being shot at, that was a false flag operation. That was a trial balloon, he said. And this source, this is amazing to me. I had to double check this, and he confirmed it again. He says, look, there's something in the works. I'm not sure what it is. This is him talking, not me. He said, I'm not sure what it is. There's something in the works that there is going to be a false flag against either the First Family, the First Lady, or the President himself. And this is going to facilitate that and foment that racial divide and also garner sympathy for the President. And I find that very hard to believe. Of course, he said this. He said, obviously, there are no plans for anyone to be hurt, but it's certainly going to appear to be.
Remember a decade ago, whenever the Taiwanese president was about to be thrown out, so he staged a shooting of himself, and then it came out. I mean, it's so obvious they want to make themselves heroes.
Yeah, it's crazy. And, you know, Alex, I got a book, and I got to tell you this. I'm into old books. This book is a 1970 edition, Communism and the New Left. I picked this up on the Andronics in an old bookstore. This is their playbook. This is their playbook. This is what they're attempting to do. Everything that we're seeing happen today was done in the 60s. And it's the same people, except now they're in leadership positions as opposed to being in the protesting positions. That's incredible.
Well, that's why we play that, you know, those clips talking about the weathermen wanting to kill 25 million Americans in the camps. So I guess they want to put like 50 million in there. And these people are running our government now, and they want to kill people. These are dirty, murdering scum. I mean, they're just filth.
And if they don't kill you, then they're going to have you building the bridges, filling in the potholes in the roads, and working for them. I mean, look at
the mayor of Chicago. He said on C-SPAN when he was White House chief of staff, he said, we're going to make everybody serve people in high school in this new FEMA Corps thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, indeed.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, and just a couple more things here. He said, whether or not the Supreme, regardless of how the Supreme Court rules, expect that Obamacare is going to go on, is going to be, I'm not sure of his exact wording here. It's going to go through. I mean, they're going to do Obamacare in one way, shape, or form.
Well, he's already started saying he doesn't care what the Supreme Court says. Of me.
Little piece in me.
We die.
We'll die
for the system.
For this is not America.
We're going to be taking your phone calls for Doug Hagman, director of the Northeast Intelligence Network. And look, all I know is I've studied history and this is repeating itself, and government doesn't care anymore. Government doesn't care if Corzine steals billions before anybody would have gotten in trouble. They don't care if hand grenades get shipped to Mexico and they get caught. Nobody gets in trouble. They don't care on any fronts anymore. And they come out and go, yeah, we're torturing people. Yeah, we'll secretly arrest you. The CIA director comes out and says, yeah, we're listening to everybody without warrants. Folks, it's illegal for the CIA to even operate domestically, much less be saying, yeah, we spy on you at a public tech conference and laughing about it and saying all your appliances, you're paying for new tech in them to track you and the smart meters. Ha ha. You know, 5 years ago, the smart meters won't control your house. Oh, yeah, we're going to control your temperature and it spies on you. Now, shut up. This is an attempt, like a pimp breaks a young prostitute, to literally break our will. I don't think it's working. In fact, I know it's not. I mean, the previous record was like 2 million guns sold in 1 month. What was that, 3.5 years ago when Obama was first getting in? Now I saw a number of 5 million in 1 month. Three of the major manufacturers have said we can't sell guns, one for 6 months, one for a year. They're that back-ordered. I mean, all of this is going on. Most of the military I talk to are awake. A lot of the police, and that's what's happening. Because people, before me, I don't need any thanks, as Doug's thanking me. Others saw this from the inside and talked about it. I mean, I heard people 20 years ago when I was first waking up saying there's plans to bring in foreign troops. And I'm like, Admiral Yamamoto said that there'd be somebody with a rifle behind every blade of grass. The Japanese do that, but not if it's posing as our own government and responding to a stage crisis like economic or nuclear or biological. And then there's all these White House memos by Shapiro and others saying, Mr. President, a new Oklahoma City or 9/11 will help us take over. And then other memos that even Glenn Beck covered, and by the way, that's what got him fired, was when he said they're planning and pointed at Obama a new Oklahoma City. Fox is like, Beck, you're off the air. That's it. Get out of here. And I had that from Fox sources. Boy, that caused a big furor when I had those sources. And now I don't have one of those sources. I have some other sources, though. The point is that there is an attempt. They're thinking about doing this, but it's a catch-22. If we expose them, they get scared because they're criminals and want to carry it out. But if we don't expose them, they go ahead and do it. So then why do we expose it? Because at least people are awake. At least we know they're coming to our house. And I mean that literally and figuratively. They would like to have this implosion. They would like to have this race war. But the Trayvon Martin thing didn't go the way they wanted. I think they're going with a model they use in the Soviet Union and other areas. I don't think it's going to work. I don't think it's going to work. Now, if they launch a war, people tend to get patriotic and think that a war is patriotic and get behind that and kind of shut up and go along with it. But the plans to go around and arrest political dissidents and people that they think are leaders across the political spectrum, that is going to result in massive resistance. And again, I'm not some macho guy that's like, let's just have a war with the military and police. I know, by the way, they're going to lose that war, but they're meant to, you see. And then I see NLE09, all these Washington Post and admitting, oh, foreign troops are going to help fight American terrorists and uprisings. That's now in hundreds of publications. So it's gone from being a secret program and training videos we got from Cooperative Nugget 93, 95, 96, and urban warfare drills I went to after that, and generals announcing you're the forces of the New World Order and training in mock U.S. towns. I had to go see this myself and went, and in some cases had to infiltrate. I'm not going to get into all of it, but, you've seen the footage. The point is to show you this information. So I knew there was a program under Clinton to do this, but now it is going into an operational phase, is my point. And I know I'm ranting, Doug. We've got Tom. I'll keep a little bit in the next hour because I'm taking away from it here. But please don't thank me anymore. Just break down what your intel is, how all these dots connect. And then I'm going to give the number out, 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. Give us more of what your sources. I know you have a lot of them. What else they're telling you on multi-fronts. But you were getting into how they plan to roll this out. What about that question? Will we be able, if we expose this enough, to cause them to not be able to implement this?
Great question. That's the only reason my source came to me with this information and said, look, get the word out there, because if we don't do anything, then it's almost a done deal. But if we can start talking about it, start exposing it, perhaps they will take a step backward. And what we talked about, and this is extremely important, what my source made sure that he wanted me to mention this. Alex, you recall Thanksgiving 2010 and 2009, when the TSA stood down with the body scanners because of the opt-out day, the protest.
November 2010, yes, sir.
Okay, now, they looked at that, and that bothered them tremendously. There were multiple meetings about this, and I'm telling you, your program caused, and your exposure caused them to step back and do this.
And Drudge, too.
Exactly. Well, here's the thing. This the whole TSA security theater, and this is what people need to understand. If the average American will put up with being sexually groped and nuked at an airport, or just to travel, or go into a mall or a stadium, or just to fly, they'll accept almost anything. That is their mindset. And that's why that had such an adverse effect on them, and sort of sent them back in time. They didn't expect the reaction. They expected everyone to be grope-a-dopes. To this point now that it's again, the conditioning has made everyone grope-a-dopes. And according to my source, they're saying, okay, now that we got people back in line and people back accepting the fact that they've got to be sexually molested, now we can go forward. Okay, now, so again, if everyone stood up and said, no, we're not going to submit, we're not going to comply, that would certainly set their timetable back. But that was one particular point in time when the DHS brass, Pistoli in particular, being the head of the TSA, was absolutely outraged, according to the information we have. And this came from someone who was very close to Pistoli at the time.
If you'll let somebody grab your wife's breast and your genitals and molest your children and laugh at you and pull them aside while they cry, which I've seen it myself, they get off on it. If you'll put up with that, you'll let them come to your house and search and set up a checkpoint and take you away. And that's what this is prisoner training.
Exactly. Yeah, it's all of this has nothing to do with security. Or it's all about conditioning. It's all about getting people to, comfortable with seeing the as you point out, the troops in the streets with the black masks and the paramilitary rifles and gear and what have you. Look, none of this is law enforcement. It's paramilitary, and we are supposed to be what my source is saying. They are doing this in incremental stages in order for us to be conditioned to see this across the country.
Well, that's the thing. You can see the rollout. You know it's a PR campaign. And for somebody who's watching and knows, it's ridiculous, and it's 100% being done in a wicked, evil fashion. I mean, this is a premeditated, total, soft martial law rollout.
Exactly. Now, I want to say one thing. You mentioned something about Trayvon Martin. According to my source, that Trayvon Martin case, there was a lot of exculpatory evidence that was omitted from the affidavits. The affidavit was written in a passive voice. There were a lot of problems. There's overcharging there. There's potential prosecutorial misconduct by Angela Corey, alleged with respect to suborning perjury and what have you. And this is done by the good graces and with the approval of Eric Holder. I mean, she's taken her marching orders directly from Eric Holder. So the outcome of whether it's an acquittal of Zimmerman in the Trayvon Martin case or there's something lesser. I mean, they overcharged Zimmerman, and they were told to do that, basically attempting to throw the verdict to assure the outrage when Zimmerman walks and they expect him to walk.
Taking your phone calls here for Doug Hagmann. He's the director of the Northeast Intelligence Network with just sources all over the place in law enforcement and intelligence. Broken a lot of big news stories over there on their end. And he was just telling us last hour that one of his federal sources said it is a 3-alarm fire. They're freaking out over the re-education camp documents that we now have. The Army has responded and says, yes, it's real. And it's classified, and it should not be in the public domain, and that is all. And how they're going to process you with your Social Security number and take the political dissidents and lock your butt up. I mean, this is the confession of an illegal, illegitimate criminal group running a government. I wonder who leaked this, Doug, and then we're going to go back to phone calls. Because I could, you know, one level, I think they put it out to scare people, but on another level, they don't want people waking up. I mean, just like Obama said he didn't want the NDAA, but then he signed it, and then it turned out he had demanded the secret arrest provision. These are big wake-up calls for people.
Exactly. And, you know, it's kind of funny. I don't know who leaked that document, but I don't believe it was intended to be leaked just simply because, for example, on page 168, it gets into the vetting of religious leaders. I mean, this is some incendiary type language.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that. It talks about fighting militias. Say that again, though. Vetting the religious leaders, which is the clergy response team.
Yeah, in fact, my son had gone through this document with a fine-tooth comb, spent actually two nights going through this, and page 168, it talks about religious discussion groups will be offered to detainees as programs to educate them on specific aspects of their religion, to moderate them and to take the edge off of them.
Yeah, that's Romans 13, which they admit the feds use. They say, it's of the Lord, take the shot, let us take your kids, of the Lord.
That's right. And they did not want this information out there. I mean, again, you know, by you breaking this, and I believe you did break this, okay? I mean, there were a lot of people. The pucker factor, as my source calls it, was incredible to think that this was actually leaked. And I'd be surprised, by the way, if you get a call back from that from the spokesperson. But that's just, you know, it's great that you did that. But no, I mean, this was not supposed to be leaked out. And
let me ask you this question, then. What do you think the military is saying about this document? I mean, I know they've called in and said they're very angry. Police have called in. I mean, I've noticed that the media, here's my main question. Why is the mainstream corporate dinosaur media will normally make fun of something I say, but then admit it's real? I've noticed complete silence on this. It is deafening, and it's really showing me just how many even alternative groups out there are controlled. The fact this is real, it's admitted it's real, and no one wants to touch it.
Well, simply because it's indefensible. How can one defend against this document? There's just no way to coherently engage in any type of coherent or legitimate defense. So why not just forget about it? Why not pretend it doesn't exist? The American people have a great way of just forgetting about everything. As long as, you know, American Idol is on or whatever show of the night is on, we can forget about this. You know, and of course now, you know, with that underwear thing, that brand new underwear scare that we got, well, you know, that gives us something different to talk about. That legitimizes the TSA, takes the attention off of this, or it'll be something else. But again, I got to tell you, this document was not supposed to be leaked.
Well, we need to force it out into the media. And now that the Army's responded and admitted and has said, yes, it's real, we have got to get people discussing this everywhere. This is a big issue.
Yes, it is.
Let's go to Gonzalo in Michigan. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, you guys? Just like to say, you really make me laugh a lot, Jones, when you do your impersonations. It's really hilarious when it comes down to all this serious type things. And DHS has been rolling around my city in their little white SUVs, thinking they're all bad with the little triangles on it and stuff, you know. And I just, once they bring their checkpoints down here, to me it's on. That's when it's on. When they start groping people, like just all in the cities, and I know they're doing it already in other states, but to me that's when it's on. And people out here are so brainwashed, they won't even save water. I tell them to, you know, they can't afford to stock up on anything. Stock up on water, and they still won't even do that. And it just really makes me sad.
Well, you've got a lot of the public scientifically mesmerized and drugged out of their minds, and I really feel sorry for them as this collapse accelerates. But I appreciate your call. Yeah, what about federal police? And the TSA aren't even police. They're not trained. They're not sworn. But they can come to a town like in New Mexico and say, grope everyone at the prom. We order you to. Out of their jurisdiction, not even real police. Violating the Fourth Amendment, it's martial law. It's what it is.
The TSA workers are not, as you point out, they're not commissioned law enforcement officers. In every state, there are programs that you must take to become municipal police officers. State police is a little bit different. These TSA workers, number one, have not gone through the proper background checks. I think you pointed that out.
Now they're admitting some don't even get them now because it's right. Not getting the scum they want.
Well, that's true. And some of this is supposed to have been the background given to third-party companies, like our company. We do background checks for Fortune 100 companies. Okay, that's not happening. It's not happening with these people. But Alex, if you can indulge me for a minute, one thing I did want to get to about this when I was talking about Jean McLeod and Canada Free Press, she'd given me some information that dovetailed with some information that my source gave me concerning Fast and Furious, that being a potential problem for this administration. According to the information we have, Attorney General Eric Holder is not going to have any problems whatsoever from Daryl Issa and others, because remember, Holder was the key figure who vetted the Clinton administration's pardons. Remember that 180-minute, last-minute pardons back in January 2001? The beneficiaries of whom included former Weather Underground members Susan Rosenberg and Linda Evans, for example. There's debts owed that are not going to be paid, or that must be paid. Holder holds some chips, if you will, and as a result of that, ICE is not going to take them out. Okay, because I wanted to make sure I got that in there. Sorry if I got you off track.
No, we ran into a break last hour. I'm glad you remembered that. In fact, I want to go back to calls now, but what are some of the other things your sources are telling you that are important?
Well, just watch what Europe is doing. And he said this, too. Again, the initial conversation was on April 25th, I believe. Watch what Europe is doing. When you start seeing Europe crumble, or the economically crumble, that is, you can start counting down. You've got some, you've really only got weeks, maybe months. Until it hits here. Watch very carefully what China does if once they start calling in their debt, if they do. As far as military is concerned, this comes from a different source. There are Spetsnaz in this country. Now, we've always had mutual aid or cross-training of various foreign troops. That's always been there. And, of course, the rebuttal to foreign troops in this country by the neocons, if you will, or the people that say, it's normal. It's normal for this. No, we're talking about Spetsnaz troops specially trained in detention and torture. I've gotten reports as well, Alex, about people, about our military in Afghanistan. They are being trained in detention as opposed to combat. Now, who are they detaining? Certainly, they're not detaining. It's a catch and release status over in Afghanistan. But according to the information we have, the training for detention is to be used here in this country, and our troops are being desensitized.
Well, that's what the document states. I mean, I've read public army documents where they say all these wars are laboratories that they can then deploy domestically. It's just total treason. Brian in California, you're on the air. Welcome.
Oh, hey, Alex. Hey, Doug. How you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to bring that up. I've read reports about Russian troops actually exercising in Colorado at the end of this month.
No, that's mainstream news. That's in CBS News, and people still don't believe it's real because, that's not possible.
Right, and that dovetails obviously then with a nice NATO meeting that's going on in Chicago, and don't forget the G8 being in their hardened bunker there at the Camp David. It would be interesting to see maybe if some of those troops actually got left here, and that dovetails maybe with Joel Skousen's prediction that, Russia and China and the sneak attack that's predicting for the United States.
All right, folks, that's part of our interview with Doug Hagmann. The rest of it is posted up at InfoWars.com. Lord willing, I'll see you back live tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central, at InfoWars.com.